to get back to human nature. We need to get back to grassroots. We need to get back to common courtesy in life and be thankful for each other and be thankful for those things we do for each other. And especially be thankful to God for those things He does for us. There's an attorney named Samuel Liebowitz years ago, brilliant criminal lawyer, managed to save 78 people from the electric chair. How many of them thanked him for that? None. Back in the heyday of radio, there was a man named Art King, had a radio program called Job Center of the Air. He supposedly found jobs for 2,500 people. You know how many people thanked him for that? 10. Out of 2,500 people, 10 people thanked him for it. A postal worker in the dead letter office made the comment one time that prior to Christmas, they get thousands and thousands of letters to Santa. I want this. I want that. He can only remember one time where he got a letter to Santa after Christmas thanking Santa for what he brought. We've just gotten ourselves into this situation where we're not thankful like we should be. We need to be more thankful. Luke, the writer, points out the fact that this was a Samaritan. And if you know anything about the culture at the time, Samaritans were foreigners and not very well liked by the Jewish people. So Luke goes out of his way to bring that to our attention, that it was a foreigner that actually turned around and thanked Christ for healing him, while the other nine just kept on trucking. Didn't think anything of it. So it's something that, in a religious sense, maybe we as Christians are less thankful than somebody out there that finds Christ and that is saved by Christ and becomes thankful, a foreigner, if you will. So we need to get back to that. We need to get back to being thankful. We need to get back to doing right things and being gracious for those things that people do to us. And you know, Jesus had to have had this kind of air of authority about him because they stood afar off and they just kind of knew who he was. There's this man named Charles Finney. He was a lawyer, but after his conversion, he became an evangelist. And this was one of these guys that had this air of authority about him. You could just look at him and know that he had authority. They claim that in a six-week period, he saved 30,000 people a week. He had that kind of air of authority, that kind of influence over people. They said he went into a textile mill one day, and before he was ever introduced, all the textile workers looked at him, knew who he was, and in that day, every employee in that textile mill was saved. He had that kind of air of authority. Now, if you use that as a background, kind of visualize that, and then you can think about what kind of air of authority did Jesus have standing there? If you saw him across the way, would you know exactly who he was? The lepers did. And we need to recognize that Christ has that air of authority about him. And we need to know that when we go to him, because we know he has that authority, and we go to him and ask him, I need help with this, or I need this, that we also need to turn around and say thank you when it happens. In fact, the Bible even tells us you should pray to God as if it has already happened. In other words, when you pray to God, say thank you for doing this for me before it's ever happened. We are to be thankful and gracious always. And we're not that way anymore. I know most of us in the older generation, the baby boomers, if you will, were brought up that that's the way you were. And I think most of us are still pretty much that way. Some of us may have lost that a little bit. The younger generation coming up, they just don't seem to have that in them. And I fear for the younger generation. I know that there are those that are being raised up properly and being given those kinds of courtesy things, that they do the right thing. But there's a big majority out there that doesn't anymore. And we've gotten into this technology, computerized, well-organized society. And there's a story about a man who hurt his thumb in a factory. So his foreman said, "I want you to go to the clinic and get that taken care of." So he goes to the clinic, walks in the front door, nobody there but a desk, two chairs, two doors behind the desk. One says illness, the other says injury. Well, he's thinking, "I'm not ill, I've got an injury." So he goes through the injury door. Another room with a desk and two empty chairs, nobody there. Two doors. One says internal, the other says external. Well, he's not hurt inside, so he says, "Oh, okay, I'll go through the external door." He goes through the external door, another room with a desk and two chairs. And on the back wall, two desks, two doors, one says therapy, the other says treatment. He says, "Well, I don't need therapy. I need something done to my thumb." So he goes to the treatment door. Another room with a desk and two chairs. Two doors at the back of the room. One says major, the other says minor. He thinks to himself, "Well, that's not really a major injury." So he goes through the minor door, and now he's outside the clinic again. So he just goes on back to work. The foreman asks him, "Did you get it taken care of?" He says, "Well, I'm not sure they really helped me, but that is the most organized group I have ever seen." And we've kind of gotten into that situation where we're organized so well, we are so computerized, things happen logically and so fast and in step with each other, that we have lost the interrelations of people. Instead of people being in all those rooms, there was just signs and doors. We have lost this ability to deal with each other, to be courteous to each other, and be thankful to each other. I can remember, oh, so many years ago, when I first got into my career in telecommunications, we'd have a problem with a telephone circuit, a data circuit, telephone, whatever. You'd pick up a phone, you'd call the guy down in the central office, you'd talk to him because he knew you probably because you'd dealt with him before, and you'd have the problem fixed in about 30 minutes. We were interrelating with each other. It was people. Nowadays, there's no guy in the central office. It's all computerized. And if you have a problem with the telephone circuit or a data circuit, and I've been through this, it's been about 10, 15 years ago, place I was working, one of the data circuits, the termination circuit board, been hit by lightning, had a black hole in the middle of it. It wasn't working. But now, instead of calling somebody that you could talk to, you call this number that rings in Dallas, Texas, and after you go through all the prompts and finally get to talk to somebody, the guy says, "Hold on, let me test that circuit for you." Comes back a little bit later and says, "That test's fine, working great." I said, "Really? I think you better check that again, because I'm looking at this thing and it's got a hole in the middle of it." "Okay, hold on." He comes back a little bit later. He says, "Nope, tested it again. Did a loop back on that circuit. It's working fine." Okay. So after badgering him for about 15 minutes, I finally convince him to send somebody out to look at that and fix it. And the guy that come out was like, "Yeah, these guys down there in the testing office, they just really don't know what they're doing. It's very well organized. Ma Bell's got this all figured out. They've cut down on people, and everything's all right there in front of them. All they have to do is punch a few buttons and type of little things on their keyboard and they're testing circuits. But you ought to be able to listen to somebody when they tell you there's a hole in the middle of this thing and it's not working. But we've gotten away from that. It's not about interpersonal relationships anymore. It's about keys on the keyboard or punching buttons and making things happen. How aggravating is it is to call a business and instead of talking to somebody anymore, you have to go, well, press one for this, press two for that. We don't get to talk to people anymore. And that's where we are losing our ability to relate to people. Because we talk to machines more than we do people. So we need to get back to a people thing. We need to get back to talking to each other. We need to get back to yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, thank you, ma'am, please. And we need to get back to thanking God for those things He does for us. Don't just take it for granted. Don't just assume that He's doing that for us because He just wants to. Now, He does want to. He does want to take care of you. He does love you. And He wants to provide for you. But you should never take that for granted. If your mom or your dad gave you something really nice that you had really wanted, would you just assume that, yeah, they're supposed to do stuff like that and take it and go on about your business? No. You would thank them for that. Probably hug them, kiss them on the cheek. Wow. You ought to be the same way with God. You ought to be willing to say thank you for those things that God does for you. Like the 1 out of 10 that came back and thanked Christ. We have to say thank you. It's a part of our character. It's a part of who we are or who we should be. Being a thankful people. We have to do this. Because we need to be thankful to God. We need to acknowledge that He takes care of us. We need to acknowledge His grace. He is gracious to us. We should be gracious back to Him. We have to do that. We can't just ignore it. There is a lady, elderly lady, who was in a concentration camp in Austria back when they were liberated. She'd been in this camp for about 5 months, hadn't eaten in the past 6 weeks. The army doctor that took care of her when they went into this camp was very respectful of her, kept her covered up while he examined her, made her feel comfortable, gave her a little bit to eat, took very good care of her. So much so that when she moved to the United States after it was all over with, she tried to find this doctor so she could thank him. She went to the Department of Defense, went through all the different government agencies, spent 20 years trying to find this doctor that had been so respectful and so caring to her. Never found him. But that's the way we should be with God. We should go out of our way like she did to thank Him for those things that He's done for us. John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, he felt that way. He was a slave trader. And when he was converted, felt so guilty about that, he wrote the song Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. He was thankful to God in a big way that God had saved him. That now he was on the straight and narrow. Now he was doing the right thing. And he knew God was with him. And he knew God would continue to be with him. The last thing about thank you It's about worship. It's about worshiping God because he does do things for us. It's about why we're here this morning. It's to fellowship with each other, interrelate with people, and thank God for getting us through another week. And thanking God, knowing he's going to get us through the next week. It's about being gracious to God. It's about worshiping God. It's about being thankful. There's a young Native American boy who remembers going fishing with his dad. And they went out on this river. And he remembers every morning when he would wake up and come out of the tent, his dad would be standing at the edge of the river with his hands up saying, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." And that should be us. You wake up in the morning, you should thank God that you woke up this morning. You should thank God that you've got a roof over your head. You should thank God that you have a job or being taken care of in retirement. You should thank God for every little thing that happens to you every day. Because without God, we would be lost. We could be out in a desert somewhere, starving to death and dying of thirst. But we're not, because God takes care of us. And because he takes such good care of us, we should have the character about us and the faith within us to worship him by saying, "Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being there with me every day, every minute of every day. Thank you. Thank you." Amen.